Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Alex Stein, number 99, a satirist and comedian who actually exposed the despicable drag queen situation in Dallas, joins our program. And then we have Terry Schilling, who talks about how we can properly pressure Republicans who kind of veer off course. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show by opening up your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show and hitting subscribe in the upper right-hand corner, Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved, start a high school or college chapter. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Give a gift of any amount and get a copy of The Conservative Response to the Great Reset, and come to our Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. You probably saw the viral video over the last couple days. We covered it extensively yesterday, of the drag show for kids in Dallas, Texas. There was one man who actually went to the, or tried to go, to intervene and be an adult and do what was actually necessary. That's Alex Stein, number 99. I think I got that right. He's hilarious. Alex, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, you're a legend. Oh, my gosh. You're calling me 99. I feel like I made it. You know, the man, the myth, the legend, Charlie. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Your reputation precedes you. The thing you, when you went to the school board meeting in Dallas, it's one of the funniest things I've seen in a very long time. And so you went to this drag show. They didn't let you in, so they're obviously, I don't know, homophobic or something? Like, walk us through this.
Well, listen, this is the thing about this drag show. And, you know, in our culture right now, they're doing the drag queen story time at the public library. Now, that's disgusting. That's terrible, Charlie. But at least that's out in the open. What this was more sinister than that, because they had a clear window. And once they did it, they put paper over the window. So they didn't want people in there. And obviously, we did get some agent provocateurs. Taylor Hansen got in, Aldo, Isabella Riley. A few people did get in that I was in a group with, but they immediately recognized me and didn't let me in. But what I'm saying is, Charlie, this had the vibe of when you're in college and the drug dealer gives you the first drug. The first drug's always free in the drug culture. You know, it's like your first hit, like come to a bar. But the reason why it was so sinister is they were attacking children. Now, listen, if you're gay, you're trans, you're a drag queen, whatever, go do that in your own time. You don't need to involve little children. So what this was is this was pure indoctrination, Charlie. And this was an attack on these children. And it gave me the vibrational energy that they're almost feasting on the purity and vulnerability of these children, and they were loving it, like a, you know, like a vampire, like a Dracula almost.
Cut 11, Alex Stein being denied entry to the drag show. Play cut 11.
I'm the entry. They're bigoted. They're not letting me in here. I can't believe they're not letting me in a gay bar. I thought you guys were inclusive, right?
Hey.
Are you guys trying to be inclusive? They're not letting me in a gay bar. Look how inclusive this is. Look how inclusive they are here.
It just looked like a circus. Do you visit? Do you try to go to these like drag queen things? You know, like what made you go to this? I don't quite understand.
Well, because it was getting national news, Libs of TikTok shared it. And I'm, you know, I'm friends with Libs of TikTok. And this is the thing, Charlie, you know, everybody has a different approach. I'm a comedian. My, you know, role model is a guy, Andy Kaufman. And what he did is he liked to blur the line of reality and fiction. And what that does is that makes people ask a question, because everybody is stuck on stupid, Charlie. They're just at the wheel. You know, they got their bills to pay. They got, you know, their ex-girlfriend, their ex-wife, whatever stuff they have to distract them from life. They're not actually seeing the big picture. They're not even seeing what's really going on. So what I like to do with my humor is called culture jamming. I take the worst parts of our culture and jam it in people's face so they can't not see it. It has to be right in front of their face. And once they see it and they question the reality in which they live in, they start asking questions. And that's what we have to do, because we don't get our people and our young people to ask enough questions about what's going on.
I mean, look, mockery is so strong. The left used to do this to us. They did it really well. I mean, Bill Maher used to do it to religious people. He had the film Religious. And now they're the ones that we should be mocking, and we should be doing it relentlessly. And so I actually typed your name into Google. And did you see this article from LGBTQ Nation? They say Christo fascist. What the heck is a Christo fascist? It sounds like a drug.
I don't know, Charlie. They keep calling us fascists, but I mean, I believe the definition of fascism is, you know, the, you know, merger of corporation and state. And that's what they want with the mandatory vaccines. I mean, that's what they want. These people that like were the Occupy Wall Street, were anti-government and anti-establishment, are no, oh, I love the establishment. Oh, establishment, give it to me, daddy. So that's what we are. We're in the clown world. And listen, Charlie, it's kind of funny how now I'm considered conservative, but really in this day and age, it's the Overton window has gone so far left that if you don't think a 9-year-old should be on puberty blockers or gender reassignment surgery, you're a bigot, you're a Trumper, you're a MAGA hat. So that's what they've done, is they've gone so far left to the absurdity, they've taken us into the clown world, Charlie. And what I try to do as a comedian is just be politically incorrect. And you mentioned Bill Maher. Now, Bill Maher, his politics are terrible, but he made such a good point. The amount of kids that have transitioned or are on gender reassignment hormones in LA compared to Cleveland, Ohio is 10,000% more. So what that means is we have parents that are making this decision. Having a trans kid is like having a vegan cat. The owner is making that decision. The cat's not making that decision. The kid's not making that decision. And that's what was sick about this thing, Charlie, is there was kids that wanted to play on their video games, and the parents were like, no, pay attention to the drag queen. Go tip the drag queen. Very weird, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I'd be like saying I wish kids were playing video games. And so
in this, I know.
So we are living under rainbow fascism, that's for sure. So I want to play this tape here, and like how tolerant these people are. They start screaming at you. Play cut 13 as you confront one of the drag performers. And I just want to remind people, and Alex, it's not an exaggeration, right? It said it's not going to lick itself. Is that right?
Charlie, all these people on the left are all, you know, the people, the gay advocates that are trying to say, oh, this was just a family-friendly event. This was so sexualized. This was at a gay bar that has sexual innuendos all over. I mean, it's just, you know, that's how they do it. It's they lull you to sleep with all these innuendos. The drinks had sexual names, buttery nipples and all this stuff. So it's not a place for little kids to be hanging out in a bar. And you know, at TPUSA, you have all these young college kids. Going to a bar in college was the coolest thing ever. So it indoctrinates these kids. They think they're at some cool place, and really they're at a sinister, evil place.
I mean, but it's not even subtle. I mean, you have a neon sign that says it's not going to lick itself. I mean, if you and I said that to like a random woman on the street, we'd either get arrested, tased, shot, or, you know, reported to some HR, you know, regime. Okay, play cut 13.
For little children, do you like dancing for little children? You don't think that's disgusting? Dancing around for little children? Don't you think that's disgusting?
I need you to
get the fuck away.
Hey, well, you can't just touch me. You don't think that's disgusting?
You can't just touch me.
You don't
Your
think
mom's
that's
a
disgusting?
Bitch. Go on.
You don't think that's disgusting? Dancing for little children. You should be ashamed of yourself.
They should be arrested for child abuse, and God bless you for calling them out and putting them on camera. One of them is the guy named Andrew Carroll. He wants to be a teacher. Of course, no correlation, obviously, right? You know, likes little kids and performing them sexually. Of course we should allow them into Texas public schools. Your reaction?
Well, listen, you could tell by that dancer, I think they go by Noelle Sinclair. And if you look at their Instagram, which they actually deactivated, they were making subtle jokes about wanting to get pizza, which we know is a declassified FBI term for child sex trafficking. So listen, I'm the host of the Conspiracy Castle. I can talk all days about conspiracy, but there was no conspiracy here today. She was dancing and simulating sex in front of children. And he felt shame when I confronted him. That's why they got so triggered. So listen, really and truly, like I said earlier, if she wants to do that for adults, that's okay. But when you call them out for doing it in front of children, you could tell that shame. She wanted to get in the car and I keep on misgendering, wanted to get the heck out of there, Charlie, because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't face the music. And that's why we need to do this. I'm not even trying to do the virtue signal, but we need to call these people out because people are too afraid of sounding homophobic or bigoted. And so they just sit and let all this stuff happen. And that's the problem in society.
He was joking about the pizza thing, by the way. We have a full-time person at Media Matters that watches everything we're doing. Or maybe you were.
Yeah,
I mean,
pizza thing's a joke. The pizza thing's a joke. Listen, it doesn't matter about that. We're not here to talk about pizza. We're not here to talk about a conspiracy. What we're here to talk about is the cut and dry stuff we can see with our eyes. We were at a bar for 21-year-olds, and there were children in there, and all their parents are bringing them in there and indoctrinating them in a culture that they are not ready for. If it was the other way around, it was a heterosexual strip club and kids were in there, people would be going crazy. So this is the one problem, though, too, Charlie, is that right now it's getting a lot of attention and it's distracting us from what's really going on, the inflation, the gas prices, the fact we're giving the Ukraine all of this money. So now we're in this culture war. It's similar to the vaccine. It's similar to all this stuff that we're arguing, Roe versus Wade. It's all this stuff to distract us, which is all important stuff. But really the big picture is they want us to keep fighting each other so we don't actually go after the people that are causing us
all these issues. Right. Alex Stein, he's smart. He's going somewhere. I said the other day, I said there haven't been very many new voices on the scene the last couple of years. He's one of them. He's onto something special. You mock these people until they run into their cars and call the cops, the same ones they want to defund. So, Alex, are you banned from Twitter? Is that right? Oh, you got the cat?
The cat walked in. This is Kyle. Yes, get out of here, Kyle. Okay, I'm currently locked out of my account.
Your cat's name is Kyle? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he drinks Monster Energy, Charlie. But listen, what I'm trying to say is about my Twitter. And I wanted to tell you one thing because I have your ear and it's a short time. So you said something so nice that, you know, I'm an upcoming new voice. But let me just tell you a quick story about what's going on in the world. This past year, we've had over 108,000 drug overdose deaths, more than we've ever had in recorded history. The media is dead silent. I worked for a TV show, a reality TV show called Cheaters, where we catch people cheating on their husbands and wives. I signed an NDA, so I can only say so much about the intricacies of the show. But the host was a guy named Clark Gable. He was Clark Gable's grandson, the guy, the actor from Gone with the Wind. He had a high drug tolerance, Charlie. But one night after we were done filming season 17, he took a pill. He went and bought some oxycodone that had fentanyl in it, woke up dead. And I'm not saying that jokingly, but he wasn't even partying. He took the pills to go to sleep and never woke up. And that changed my life, Charlie. I quit drinking. I quit doing anything that I ever did because it just scared me to death. He was my same age. But the point of the story is they said, Alex, you're going to be the next host of Cheaters. And I thought that was so great. Even though my friend died, it was like 2 months after I'm getting my life together. I'm so depressed about him, but I think it's just a good opportunity. And then the show, which the production company was distributed by Viacom, which is owned by MTV.
Yep.
So, of course, when it came time to pick the host, they picked a 52-year-old DJ from New York, and they you know decided not to go with me. But, Charlie, at the time, I was so bummed out. This was April of 2020. It was the best thing that happened to me because that's when I started creating content, and that's when I started going to meetings. And I would go to these city council meetings, and I would speak very seriously, and I would say, why are you shutting down the public restrooms at the park? We should go outside and walk. You know, how it is walking outside of the park stop the spread of a virus. You know, I went there and I just talked about this very earnestly. They looked at me like I was an idiot, like I was a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist. They weren't necessarily wrong, but they didn't give me any sort of attention. They were the NPCs, the non-playable characters. Mm. And like you said earlier, the mockery. Once I started mocking them, we have a mayor here, Eric Johnson. I said, you know, Eric Johnson, it would be awesome if you went in the gay community and gave free Johnson & Johnson from Eric Johnson. They would love the double entendre, just like, you know, how the gay club had it's not going to lick itself. And then I saw his eyes get really big. And I noticed that the humor is how we try to bring these people down to our level. Because
yes,
all these politicians are so self-righteous, Charlie. Yes. You deal with them all the time because you fundraise for them. And that's the problem, is these people get in position and then they're bought and sold by these political action committees. So they sell their soul. So I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to use mockery in order to call these people out on the right and the left. Obviously, I'm more conservative, but we have a lot of rhinos. And I know you totally call them out. But that's what we have to do, is because the right wing and the left wing are on the same bird. I know everybody knows that cliche, but we have to somehow call out these people that are selling our country out for multinational corporations like Pfizer, like Apple, like Disney, that's going to edit John Boyega out of the poster in China, or is not going to post the same gay flag in Saudi Arabia. So these corporations that are running our country, Charlie, are all hypocrites. So my goal is to use comedy to call out that hypocrisy. And I've been successful with it.
Yes,
and I really
have.
Appreciate you for noticing.
I think it's just the start. And I know talent when I see it, and you have it. And you just got to keep working. This is one of my favorite ones. I got to play it. It's a little in the archives. Cut 43. Alex Stein, number 99. When I saw this, my wife will tell you, it was the hardest I laughed in, like, I think a decade. It was one of the great things ever. Play cut 43.
Hello. How you guys doing, counsel? So my name is Alexandria Stein, and I'm here today to call out transphobia here in Plano. I'm currently being restricted from swimming in the City of Plano Swim League against the women, even though it's clear that I reassigned my gender last week. Like, for example, do I look like a man? Obviously I'm not. This is a woman. but they're not going to let me swim and compete against the ladies because of transphobia. So what I need you guys to do is I need you to wake up. We have champions like Leah Thomas. She's an NCAA champion, the best swimmer in college today. I can't get a scholarship unless I'm able to send a recruiting tape to these colleges.
Your thoughts, Alex? We've got a minute left.
Well, listen, that's where we're at. Leah Thomas swam on the men's team for 3 years, ranked 457th, then got to go swim on the women's team and won multiple national championships. And the media cheerleads this. That goes against the 17 other women that he had to compete against that spent their whole entire life in a pool only to lose to a female that just recently had hormone therapy but still has their genitalia of a male and still likes women. So we're in the clown world, Charlie. And I appreciate you letting me come on your platform because I know it's huge. You're on the grind. They say I'm on the grind. You're really on the grind. I'm trying to get to the Charlie Kirk grind. And one day, hopefully, I'll just get a little, I'll get a little bit close to your level. I don't think I'll ever get that big, but Primetime 99 is aiming for you, Charlie. I really appreciate all the hard work you're doing.
We need more patriots and we need more humor. I'm telling humor goes yes, to sir. A different part of the brain immediately. It can activate people to see things in a way they otherwise wouldn't. Alex, thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Charlie.
Look, the world situation is getting worse every single day. We're suffering from high inflation, outrageous gasoline and diesel prices, skyrocketing food prices, a bad economy, and so much worse. Are you prepared in case a food shortage hits and you can't get food at the grocery store for months and months? If not, then please go to preparewithkirk.com and you'll save $150 on a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. This 3-month kit gives you a wide variety of delicious daily meals, breakfast, lunch, dinners, drinks, and snacks for 3 full months per person. If the worst happens and you don't have this emergency food, you'll regret it. I'm a prepper. You should be a prepper. So go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com and save $150 on each 3-month food kit that you order. Act quickly because demand is skyrocketing. Your order ships fast and arrives discreetly in unmarked boxes. I love preparewithkirk.com. I know you will as well. So look, fast shipping, great company. I have boxes of this stuff in my home because you are 9 meals away from anarchy. Let me say that again. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. So do what is necessary to protect your family. Preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Preparewithkirk.com. With us right now is Terry Schilling. I spent a whole week with Terry in Las Vegas, but we were not doing what you might think we would be doing in Las Vegas, right, Terry? We were reading old books and talking about philosophy. It was with the great Claremont Institute. It was in Vegas, I guess, because it was the only place they could find on the West Coast that would be open and actually has the hotel capacity. But Terry Schilling runs a phenomenal organization that everyone needs to get behind, and they do such a great job. And American Principles Project, and they also have a PAC. And Terry, you have a great article out, Defeating This Gender-Bending Republican Will Help Protect American Women Nationwide. Walk us through it.
Well, Charlie, for the last several years, we've seen the Republican Party completely acquiesce to the LGBT movement. They started with getting Republicans to support the Equality Act, which, just for your viewers and listeners, it would put sexual orientation into gender and gender identity into civil rights law. It's a total nightmare. Men and girls showers, men and women's sports, men and women's prisons. It's a total nightmare. Well, along the way, the Republicans who are soft on this stuff came up with a quote-unquote compromise bill, and it's called the Fairness for All Act, and they say that they have religious freedom protections in it. So what we wanted to do this year is make politicians, Republicans, pay a price for supporting this law, and Nancy Mace is one of the last Republicans on this bill. Charlie, this bill is so extreme that we've actually gotten more moderate members off of this bill.
Good.
Claudia Tenney is off of it. There are several others. I'm just blanking on them right now. But we've gotten 5 members of Congress off of this bill, including Elise Stefanik. That's the highest profile Republicans gotten off of it. But Nancy Mace is still on it. And this bill would put men and women's prisons, men and women's sports. It would put men and women's locker rooms, the whole shebang. And we decided to run $100,000 worth of campaign ads against her with a really powerful spot to ensure that politicians know, if you hurt our families, if you hurt our daughters, if you hurt our moms and our women, we're going to come for you and we're going to make you pay a political price when it comes to your election.
So But Nancy Mace is in a race against Katie Arrington. Is that right? Because of redistricting. Is that correct?
No. So partly because of redistricting, but because Nancy Mace has such an abhorrent record and is not a conservative, she actually attracted three primary challengers. One of them actually just got out, Lynn Piper Loomis, and she endorsed Katie Arrington along with President Trump, who's also endorsed Katie Arrington. So we're getting behind Katie Arrington, who's actually has signed our big family pledge, right? This is a pledge that says that you'll protect children from pornography online. You'll pass age verification laws. You'll protect kids from gender ideology in school and critical race theory. And you'll work to ban sex changes for minors. These are all very common sense things, right? And Katie Arrington had no problem signing it. It was a no-brainer for her.
So you bring up some super smart points. So first of all, Nancy Mace is so disingenuous. In a world that many people have forgotten, she used to pretend to be a grassroots conservative, and she primaried Lindsey Graham. This was like 6 or 8 years ago. So she used to like – so that just goes to show kind of the opportunist part. So you go to her website, right, nancymace.org. Do you know that last week she sent out a press release saying that we have to protect girls' sports on her website?
Yep.
I mean, that's just like a pure transparent fraud, is it not?
It is, and she actually got caught lying about that bill. She said that she co-sponsored the Fairness in Women's Sports Act that Greg Stube introduced. She's not on the bill, Charlie, so she's lying about that. She made that announcement the same day that we announced we were spending $100,000 against her with the campaign ad that attacks her for supporting men and women's sports. And by the way, this Fairness in Women's Sports Act, it's not as strong as civil rights law. Right. Like in the 1960s, they crafted civil rights law to be very powerful.
Yes.
And so if you put gender identity into civil rights law versus the Women's Sports Act, you're not going to do what you want it to do. Civil rights law trumps everything else. It's really terrible. It's dishonest. And she's been caught lying on this. She's not a good person.
What is the fairness? Tell me more about this Fairness for All Act.
So what it would do is it would restrict Title IX funding based on whether or not schools allow for boys to compete in girls' sports. So if you're a school, let's say in Illinois, the Fairness for All Act, that's what you want to,
yes.
Sorry, I was describing the Fairness in Women's Sports Act.
No, but she signed on to that bill, so I'm just curious what that one is.
So the Fairness for All Act, which is the LGBT bill, that would put gender identity in all parts of civil rights law, including public accommodations. So let's say you're a school and you want to have sex-based bathrooms and sex-based privacy facilities for women. You can't have that. If a man says that he's a woman, he gets to go into the women's locker room. It also applies to prisons. It applies to battered women's shelters. It's a total nightmare, Charlie. And you have to ask yourself, why are we doing this? What cultural power does the transgender and LGBT lobby not have right now? You're not getting fired for being gay. You're not being fired for being transgender. You're being fired for being Christian now, right?
Yes.
You're being canceled and
That's
harassed
exactly
for
right.
being someone that believes in just two genders, right? Why are we giving them even more cultural power and legal power now when they've already been abusing the power that we've given them, the small little bit of power that they've been given?
But it's just so frustrating. So you articulated that really well. And I just want to reinforce, though, if you go to her website, she makes it seem as if she's a big proponent of the opposite, when in reality, she's the Republican sponsor of the bill that would destroy the very – the reason I'm nationalizing this, though, Terry, is that everyone has to learn to dive deeper than just the campaign website, just the literature and propaganda. So if you go to her website, you know, she says that, you know, right here, she says we have to – stop Biden's runaway inflation, secure the border, put parents in charge. Can you talk, Terry, on how these Republicans, they have these consultants that put these little sound bites and they wear camouflage, but in reality, they are no different than Democrats when it comes to policy?
No, that's exactly right, Charlie. The Republicans will, I get all these interviews, right, and they ask us, well, why isn't this just more of the Republican-led culture wars? What Republican-led culture wars? We have been on the defense for so long. And the reason we have this, Charlie, is because of these campaign consultants. They talk a good game. They get their candidates to say good things.
Yep.
But when it comes time to actually doing it, they do nothing. And you have to look no further than President Trump, right? President Trump became pro-life basically yesterday. and did more in his administration than all of the previous Republican presidents ever. He was the most pro-life president, period. And it was just because he was naive and did actually what he said he was going to do. I don't think he was naive, but, you know, he said what he was going to do and he did what he said. And it's just so telling. These guys think they can pull the wool over, and ultimately it's anti-American, right? Like, you have to be a real pessimist in voters. You have to be a pessimist in the American people to think that you can lie to them and that they're just going to vote according to your lies. And they're not going to actually fact check and look into this stuff themselves. And that's part of our role at APP, is to educate people about what's actually happening.
Yeah. It's so important. And I mean, you go through the article here you wrote on the Federalist. And like this trans ideology, why are Republicans like even remotely entertaining it? I mean, I suppose, again, we kind of did a little bit, we did a whole show on this last week, is that there's still kind of this naive core of the ruling class of Republicans where they think we live in a country that is long gone. And you know this, Terry, and Matt Walsh articulates this, I think, better than anybody else, where it goes from, okay, you must tolerate the trans stuff, right? So you must accept the trans stuff. You must celebrate the trans stuff. And now you must participate in the trans stuff. And it went really quick from tolerance to participation. And do you think there's something kind of fundamental in Republicans' desire to just be liked? How much of this do you think is just kind of a yearning to be accepted by these people?
So I think it's two things. I think it's 30% wanting to be accepted by the elites. And 70% of this is, and this is the big thing, is that there has been no consequences up until recently for betraying us. And that was the big thing that APP wanted to solve, is there were only consequences for betraying the transgender movement or betraying the LGBT movement and hurting them, right? Pat McCrory tells this really incredible story about how the Human Rights Campaign came to his office after he passed the bathroom bill that basically said boys use the boys' room and girls use the girls' room. And they said, sorry, we're going to make an example. We're going to collect a scalp here so that no Republicans ever support a bill like this again.
That's exactly right.
And there was no one on the other side of that, Charlie. There was no one running campaign ads defending him or supporting him. It was just left-wing. Yeah, they spent $50 million.
And in defense of Pat McCrory, who I think is just running for Senate unsuccessfully, is that he really didn't get the right-wing response, I think, that was warranted. He was ahead of the curve on this trans stuff. And he paid a huge price. If I'm not mistaken, Pence backed down on it in Indiana. I might be misremembering it, but there was some Indiana kind of sister bill. But now all of a sudden, it's kind of like we have infrastructure now, and we have the ability to fight. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering how you can learn about things that are good, true, and beautiful. Well, I've talked about Hillsdale College for a while. But look, there's a video I want you to see. It's the trailer to Hillsdale College's newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. We talk a lot about current events on the show, but some things are more important than today's news. And C.S. Lewis was a master at addressing life's most important questions through vivid language that's entertaining and fascinating. You may know Lewis as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, but he's also considered the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. As a radio host, I appreciate Lewis's ability to communicate and inspire. In fact, not a lot of people don't know this, but Mere Christianity, his book, began as a series of radio messages. Hillsdale's free online course covers C.S. Lewis's profound insights into good and evil, prayer and the Bible, and even heaven and hell. And did I mention his course is entirely free? So go watch the trailer video of C.S. Lewis on Christianity and sign up for this new free online course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Look, charlieforhillsdale.com, you guys should go there at least once a week. You guys can get online courses, sign up for Imprimis, learn about Aristotle, learn about the Constitution, learn about the Declaration, learn about the Federalist Papers. It's charlieforhillsdale.com. Again, Charlie, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Terry, what other races is your PAC looking at? What other Republicans should we punish or reward? What are you looking at?
So there are a few congressionals coming up here that we're really interested in. First and foremost, we really love Mary Miller. We want to support her. We're raising money to help her out right now. She's a big family pledge signer. One politician that's in Congress right now that we really want to punish is Peter Meyer. He's someone that voted to impeach Trump. He's on the Fairness for All Act. He's a terrible fake Republican, and he's got a great primary challenger in John Gibbs, who's also backed by President Trump. But the other thing that we're looking at is we have a big family 2022 campaign where we're going after the swing states that we need election integrity in. And so we're going to be using our pro-family issues to punish Democrats who have been vetoing this. So Tony Evers is the governor of Wisconsin. He vetoed the Women's Fairness Act in Wisconsin when it passed the legislature. We're going to go after him. We're going after Steve Sisolak in Nevada. Yeah. And we also want to help out our good friend in Arizona, Carrie Lake. She's been a very strong candidate, was one of the first signers of the Big Family Pledge. And there are a few others that we're looking at, but we love J.D. Vance. We love Blake Masters. There are so many good candidates that have signed our pledge. And we're going to spend $12 million this year.
Tell us what $12 million is a big number. What is the pledge? Tell us. And why won't all Republicans sign it?
Well, there are fewer and fewer every day that haven't signed it. We're up to over 100 candidates that have signed it. It basically bans critical race theory from schools. It bans transgenderism in schools. It bans sex changes for minors. You have to pledge to protect life from conception, natural death. And you also have to pledge to ban porn for minors, right? We pick this out to go on offense, but these are very easy lifts if you're just, you know, if you just got two brain cells to rub together, right? They're very popular. The porn pledge, Charlie, that is super popular. We're talking an 80-15 issue. We just did a battleground survey in all the Senate battleground states. It's an 80-15 issue. There's no reason not to support verifying someone's age on porn.
Yeah, I mean, and making it more difficult for people that are under 18 to consume it. It's a public health crisis, like an actually legitimate one. I said for a long time, and the media just killed me on it, that young people are at greater long-term risk from pornography usage than from COVID, and they just like lost their mind when you would say such a thing as that, but it's totally true. And so what's the response that Republicans don't want to sign it? I mean, that you're just kind of like on board for all the kind of social liberalism stuff, or what's their response?
They basically try and act like it doesn't represent their district. But Charlie, again, we are seeing so many candidates actually sign this thing. Even Dr. Oz signed it, right? Like
Okay.
It's actually getting really widespread. I probably should have made it more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of, I mean, again, I'm looking at it right now. It's defend girls' sports from biological males, protecting children from experimental gender transition, let kids be kids from dangerous and divisive propaganda, safeguard kids from exposure, pornography, obscenity, and indecency, protect life from conception and natural death. But let me ask you, Terry, and we only have about a minute and a half remaining, what happens if someone violates the pledge? There needs to be a cost to that, right?
Absolutely, Charlie. This is all, you know, instead of endorsing people, we wanted these candidates to endorse a pro-family agenda that we can use to hold them to account once they get into office. We've been misled for so many years, Charlie, decades, right? The pro-family movement is being rebuilt, and we're going to ensure that there are not only consequences for the Democrats who are killing us, but for the Republicans who refuse to stop them from killing us and our families and hurting our kids. It's that simple. Everyone says that politics is downstream of culture. That's a lie. It's half true. Politics is part of the culture. And when millions of people are seeing campaign ads and arguments that we're making for and against candidates on different issues, you're changing the culture. And when you change the law, you change the culture. So this is just part and parcel for how we return America back to its roots, to the family, to God, and all of that. And it's really very simple stuff. It's just getting back to basics.
Well said. Terry Schilling, American Principles PAC. It's time to make people pay for going after kids and going after the family. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.